It's time for another edition of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Looking to throw a slant pattern over the middle, and it's caught, and he's in for the touchdown.
Far side of the field, 30, 25, 20, stumbling towards the end zone and holding on to the football, crossing the goal line for another six.
Tonight, we'll recap the last weekend of high school football and get set for the next slate of games.
Going to the left, now he's going to throw across his body towards the right side. In the end zone, is the catch made? It is!
Breaks the tackle, puts out that stiff arm, cuts back at the 10, puts on the brakes, now accelerates forward to the 10, to the 5, touchdown!
Plus, we'll be joined live by different area players and coaches throughout the season.
You got to be focused, you know, week in, week out. You know, can't get too high and you can't get too low.
For them at the high school level to be able to execute that type of a game plan and execute it as well as they did, I couldn't be more proud of how they played.
Hi, I'm Hannah Cole, and you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Broadcasting live from Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington, alongside the rest of the regional radio sports team, here are your hosts, Matt Greenwood and Andy Humphrey.
Another week of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, and we're back at a packed Applebee's in Farmington. It is really nice to see all the folks here as we broadcast live from Applebee's for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd. Andy Humphrey alongside the rest of the regional radio sports crew, Matt Greenwood, Nick Lewis, Chad Speaker, Brandon Pavlina, and Nathan Gertz, the whole crew here as we talk football. We talk the first week of the district playoffs, which were just last weekend, some exciting games, and should be some very intriguing matchups coming up this weekend in the semifinal round of the respective district tournaments. We'll take a deep dive into the games that we had on our regional radio airwaves this last Friday, starting off with a close one on the MIMO Info Sports Stream this last Friday night as the Potosi Trojans held on for a 20-14 victory over Perryville in the first round of the Class 3 District 1 playoffs. After both teams traded punts in a scoreless first quarter, Potosi forced another Pirate punt and reeled off a 10-play scoring drive with Andrew Coleman capping the march with a one-yard touchdown sneak. Then the Trojans dodged a pair of bullets by recovering a pair of Perryville fumbles inside the Potosi 20-yard line. And late in the first half, Coleman led a drive with big passing plays that ended in the Serenity Hospice Care play of the game.
Play action fake to the wingback, sweeping. Coleman will throw wide open in the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown, Potosi. Devin Marler, who caught the only passing touchdown of the season for the Trojans last week, wide open as they went play action on the wingback pitch. Wingback coming in motion here from the near sideline, and Marler just runs the straight go up the middle, and he's wide open in the end zone for the 15-yard score. Potosi, at the end of the first half, has doubled its lead to 13-0.
14-0 at halftime, but Perryville rallied back. Long run by Charlie Ussery set himself up for a one-yard touchdown that cut the score in half, and even after a long run by Braden Isgriggs to set up another Coleman touchdown, the Pirates got within a score at the end of the game thanks to a Dawson Camden interception and a touchdown run by Evan Doherty, and Perryville had the ball at the end of the game but couldn't quite finish the comeback.
Here's your ball game, 4th and 10. Rolling out to the right is Doherty. He'll throw it deep down the field. Nobody's there. The pass might have been intercepted. They'll say it's incomplete. No pick, but any way you spin it, it's a 4th down stop. Potosi holds, and the Trojans, with 32 seconds left, are going to hang on for the 16th time in the last 18 games. They will beat Perryville.
It was kind of back and forth, both teams trading possessions, having some trouble on offense at times, but the big plays ended up being the difference.
Yeah, big plays that Perry or Potosi has just not had all year. We're talking about a team, their starting quarterback, Andrew Coleman, thrown for around 340 yards total this season, puts up 143 yards in this game, hits some big pass plays. I mentioned that drive at the end of the first half. He had a pair of 30-yard pass plays to Isaac Gagan, who you normally think of as a weapon running the football. They got him involved as a receiver in a big way, finished the night with 93 yards receiving. They were so good at throwing the football, they might have got a little greedy at the end of the game and had a 3rd down pass that Dawson Camden picked off. That allowed Perryville to get back within a score and have a chance with the ball at the end of the game. But some really nice things for the Trojans offensively, adding to what is already a dynamic rushing attack as they head into the district semifinals. And perhaps most importantly, I think for head coach Ed Haar, he's wanted to see his defense have to step up and make plays to win a game. They were on the field at the end, and they made the plays to get the job done.
They've been able to close out a couple of these close victories with that defense, Brandon. And we're also seeing Andrew Coleman, incorporate the passing game a little bit more, and it started to really, you know, get the offense going.
Well, I mean, that's you can certainly say that from his performance in this past week's game, and they certainly got the passing game going in a big way. I mean, I think he put up nearly 150 yards, and that was almost a third of what he had put up for the entire season. But part of it was that the secondary for Perryville did have a hard time making plays on a couple of balls that were really kind of lofted up there, and they were dropped right in the bucket. The guys made plays for Potosi, but Coleman had a nice week, but he's going to have to try to maybe be a little more precise with some of those throws, because he did end up getting one picked off late in the game. I think Nathan and I were talking on the ride home. We were scratching our heads late in the game. Potosi gave Perryville a little bit of life when they were throwing the ball up late, and Coleman put one in the air, and it got snapped out of the sky, and just got to be cautious of that going forward. But, you know, he's played really well this year, obviously having to make that transition to the new offense and everything and understanding it and making, you know, the calls and just kind of running the show. He's done a fantastic job, but their running game is really potent, and that defense, like you said, they're really, really good at closing out games, and they were certainly able to do it this week.
Well, and the defense was the story. Trojans head coach Ed Haar said his defense made the big plays that his team absolutely had to have.
Yeah, we were real proud of our defense. You know, our offense, we stalled out a couple times, put defense in real bad positions. And, you know, I think earlier in the year, we wouldn't have stepped up our game like we did tonight. You know, kind of an ugly performance, but we did some really good things at times, and that's what we're going to have to build on for next week.
Pirates head coach Blaine Boss said they couldn't overcome those turnovers.
They battled tonight. You know, we got down again, and it's kind of been the story of the year. We get down, then we have to battle back, and we do it. We just, you know, it's too late, too little too late by the end of the game. Those two turnovers in the red zone, they were on the 5-yard line, I believe. You know, if we hold the football, we probably score. So, you know, that's 14 points. You know, we don't get right there because we fumble. But, hey, that's football. That's playoff football. You know, the team with fewer turnovers and fewer penalties is usually the one that comes out victorious.
Yeah, just kind of building on what Coach Boss said there, Andy. Perryville honestly played a pretty clean game, all things considered. Not as explosive in the passing game as they'd probably like, just 71 yards through the air. But Doherty made some plays running the football. Charlie Ussery stepped up in the second half. I mentioned the long run to set himself up for a touchdown. They didn't really commit many penalties. I think Potosi had the edge in the penalty side. Those fumbles were brutal. Both times, Carter Dix catches a long 38-yard pass, drops it inside the 5-yard line. After a big play, they give a fullback dive to Caleb Grimaud, fumbles it away inside the 20-yard line. Those two drives likely end in points if they hang on to the football and swing it for Perryville. So just a real tough loss for an otherwise, I think, really solid performance from the Pirates there in the first round of the district playoffs.
Well, and they had to deal with the injuries almost all season long, but a good effort at the end of the year for sure from Perryville, even though it ends at 5-5. Definitely a more talented team than that record
may
show.
And there's a lot to build off of, too, with Evan Doherty going forward. His first year under center with the program, coming back next year. I mean, he has a chance to really have a special a season, because he's a really good athlete running the show over there for Perryville, and I'd be interested to see what he can do next year.
And meanwhile, Potosi, they move on. They're 6-4 overall. They will take on the one seed Kennett in Kennett in the Class 3 District 1 semifinals as Kennett comes in undefeated in that matchup. Meanwhile, on the other side of that Class 3 District 1 bracket, it was a successful first district game for the St. Genevieve Dragons as they were able to knock off the Fredericktown Blackhats 31-7 on J98. After a stalled Fredericktown drive early in the game, St. Genevieve came up with a key play on special teams. Takes a bit of a softball pass. It's blocked! St. Genevieve blocked the kick, trying to get the loose ball on the far sideline. They pick it up around the 20. Evan Walker blocked the punt for the Dragons. And the first big play of the game comes on special teams. The Dragons will have excellent field position, set up on the Fredericktown 21-yard line with 9:01 to go in the first quarter. St. Genevieve quarterback Logan Gegg had a great play to run it in on the very next action of the game, should say, for a 21-yard touchdown. After another Gegg rushing score late in the first quarter, running back Austin Bullock added to the lead in the second. St. Genevieve 1 of 3 on third down so far. They'll tick down the play clock to 5, taking the snap. Gegg fakes the handoff, Trowinger. Then they'll pitch it outside to Bullock, who was there in the option, to the 10, to the 5, over a tackler, into the end zone. Touchdown, St. Genevieve. Austin Bullock runs it in from 13 yards out. The third rushing touchdown for St. Genevieve on the evening. They lead 20-0 with 11:07 to go in the half. Dominant performance from St. Genevieve in all phases, Nick.
Yeah, and, you know, and we'll talk about this later when we preview our matchups for this upcoming week, but St. Gen's really playing their best football of the season right now, and it's interesting and maybe even a little bit surprising that it kind of started to happen right when they lost their top wide receiver in Peyton Matthews. But then again, it's not just offense. Like you mentioned, defense, and just specifically in the offense, not just passing, they're running the football a lot better now. And they got a big play on special teams. You know, St. Jen went 3-and-out, first possession on offense. Fredericktown gets the ball, immediately a blocked punt to kind of help the offense out, give them a little bit of a boost that they needed. Good field position there. So all three phases are really working together right now for St. Genevieve.
Yeah, and Gag was Appleby's player of the game with 19 carries, 80 yards, and two touchdowns from the quarterback spot. Dragons head coach Ken Weick said the defense stood out in this one.
We couldn't ask more for our defense. Just, you know, when Ryan sent us to a dime early, we went with the three-man front, and we got good pressure out of it, you know. And again, Evan and Clayton are quick off the edge, and we got some good play with our nose guard this week. And, you know, when you're getting good pressure with three, you can cover behind it pretty well. So we like that look, and it worked pretty good for us tonight.
Well, that defense held Malachi Kyle on the other side for Fredericktown to just 11 carries, 32 yards, so I say they did pretty good.
Yeah, and Malachi Kyle, we've talked about him all season long. He really had that breakout game in the contest that Nathan and Brandon were covering against Herculaneum. What was it, 5 touchdowns or what have you? He was really good last season too, by the way. But to shut Malachi Kyle down, it takes a lot, and that just tells you how good St. Genevieve's playing right now. I mean, it is just miles from, you know, that middle beginning part of the season where they were struggling a little bit. They're a completely different team.
And meanwhile, Black Cats head coach Chuck Ford said the bad start did them in.
It just looked like our kids were a little lethargic and just going through the motions and thinking it was just going to be another win. But we're not at that point yet. And, you know, St. Jim's too good a team to be doing that on. But then after that, defensively, I thought we played pretty well. You know, we did some things that cost us, but at the same time, we couldn't move the ball at all offensively.
Well, yeah, in addition to that punt that was blocked, they also had a bad snap on their next punting attempt that basically put St. Genevieve on the 5-yard line. They were able to run it in there too. So really it was special teams that made the difference early on in the game, and St. Genevieve was able to cruise. Now the Black Cats were able to get at the very end of the game. It was a cool moment. 94-yard touchdown pass from Evan Burrows to the senior Ethan Flanagan was able to break away from the defense there, and with about maybe 17 seconds left, he went down all the way down the field and scored. So a nice moment for the senior there. But there is a lot of really good youth talent coming back for Fredericktown. Their playmakers that were big in both of their wins, or in all three of their wins this year, definitely were key in those and are going to be coming back next year.
And not just their wins. I mean, this game against St. Genevieve was unlike other losses for Fredericktown in that they weren't really in the game at any point, which is actually a lot different from what we've seen from them this year. They are a much improved team despite the record being what it is. They did improve one win from last year, but the point is that in their losses against good teams, they were one score, maybe two score games. And so to lose to St. Genevieve like this at the end of the season, disappointing, of course, but you do have a group led by Malachi Kyle coming back next year. And as we've already mentioned, St. Genevieve is just playing some really good football at the moment.
Fredericktown ends the year 3-7. St. Genevieve is now 7-3. They will take on the Central Rebels next week in the Class 3 District 1 semifinals. Let's go to Class 4 District 1 as top-seeded and 10th-ranked Farmington dominated Windsor 63-7 in the opening round of the Class 4 District 1 tournament at Hale Memorial Stadium. 10 Knights pounded out 439 rushing yards and scored touchdowns on their first 7 possessions. Braden Bodkin led Farmington in carries and yards with 118 yards on 13 tries. Windsor quarterback Kalen Gamerick completed 5 passes for 86 through a 37-yard touchdown to Julian Ulmer, and the Knights defense held Windsor to a negative 19 yards rushing and even found the end zone once itself.
It's 3rd and 9 for Windsor. They're in trouble. The quarterback under pressure. Eli Lamb has the pick. He cuts back to the 10, gets his way to the 5, and cruises into the end zone. Eli Lamb, a 37-yard pick 6. And the Lamber goes all the way to the end zone. His second interception of the year. And this one is in residence. Farmington on top, 34-7.
Royce Harris gained 94 yards on only three carries, including this in the second quarter.
Farmington has already gone to its second-team quarterback. This is Drew Felker in the ball game now. Felker pitches this one to Royce Harris. Royce gets it on the outside, blast through the middle, cuts back to the left, and they will not catch him. Royce Harris, 40 yards, a one-play drive, and the Black Shirts are in the end zone again. Knights on top, 41-7, 9:58 remaining in our first half of play, and Royce has two carries. He's got one for 19 yards and that one from 40 in the.
Well, they're playing their best football, too, I'd say, Chad.
Well, pretty good. You know, you're in the one seed. I mean, that gives you the, you know, the luxury or advantage of maybe probably getting a good matchup in the first round. They got that. Windsor, a team certainly compromised by injuries throughout the year. They had actually seven opening day starters that were gone for the rest of the year. So it was a good matchup for Farmington. I thought Coach Krupe really was very sportsmanlike. That touchdown that you heard that Royce had was in the second quarter, and already the second-team quarterback was in. So, you know, Farmington played the full roster. They played backups even in the first half. And so I thought they were very sportsmanlike in that. And then, you know, Windsor was outmatched, but they gave a good effort, you know, the whole game. And Coach DeMatteis was certainly happy with that. So Knights are where they want to be, healthy and maybe fortunate in that respect. They've gone through most of the year without any severe injuries, a ding and a bruise and a bang here and there, but in pretty good shape entering the district semis.
Well, and that's key because a lot of other teams in this district can't really say the same thing about the health.
That's true.
Yeah. So Farmington coach Eric Krupe gave some love to his defensive front after the game.
We've talked about our defensive line all season long, and you know, we like who we got up front. They were just more physically dominant than the opponent. And you got guys like Rothman Harris and Jed Cunningham up there, and Alex Smith is just a workhorse grinder for us. You know, you got those guys, and you've got Kale Krause and Gavin Early rotating in, and Logan Woolley rotating in. You know, those are all guys that are difference makers up front, and that's good for us to have that situation.
Yeah. Talking about his defensive front right there, not only the 12 tackles for loss and the negative 19 yards, but you heard on that pick six from Eli Lamb, it was really the defensive line that created that. I mean, Gumerick was under such huge pressure. He just tried to get rid of it, and by the time Lamb had it, he was already at full speed and headed the other direction. So it was the speed of the defensive line for Farmington, once again, a common theme this year. That was one of the big differences.
Windsor coach Alex DeMatteis praised the Knights, but also liked the toughness his team showed in never quitting during an injury-plagued season.
It's a good football team over there, but my thoughts on my side of things with my boys is I saw a lot of hard play that we didn't quit. You know, that's what we were looking for. Again, just kind of patchworked in some areas and with some young kids out there. I felt like we played hard, and that's what I've asked them to do all along. It's one of those things where you go in down at halftime the way we did, and you're looking at your seniors, and they're looking at their football mortality, staring them in the face. And now it's just the hard part of the process of saying goodbye to your seniors.
Meanwhile, Windsor closes the year at 3-7. Farmington improves to 8-2 in a rematch with Festus coming up, Chad.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one because it was a good game last year. We'll get into more of this as we move along. In fact, I really want to listen to Matt's Festus game because here's a team that has turned it up at this point in the season. And Festus, I think, was playing maybe their best football also exactly at this point last year. And it even caught Farmington a little by surprise last year. Yeah, maybe not, but maybe so.
Yeah.
So that's just got the win. So.
I don't think they're catching Farmington by surprise this year.
If they are, that's Farmington's fault.
Right.
Like it was last year.
But yeah, we'll dive into the health of Festus and how that may affect the outcome of the game on Friday.
Well, it certainly was a good day for the Festus Tigers in their first district matchup. Four interceptions, five offensive touchdowns. On AM 1400 KJF, they rolled over DeSoto by a score of 41-7. It was Colin Doyle scoring on the ground from 11 yards out at the 3:57 mark of the first quarter, gave Festus the jump on the Dragons. That came after a Jaden Reistrom interception. It was the second Festus interception of the night that led to another Tiger touchdown.
So DeSoto, second drive at their own 33. Left to right, they move. And there's a throw to the far side, picked off by Austin Cole. He's off to the races along the DeSoto sideline, crosses the five and the goal line with the football risen above his shoulders. A pick six for Austin Cole and the Tigers extend their lead to 13-0.
First of three interceptions for Austin Cole on the night. Later in the first half, Tigers got another pick and marched 98 yards on 14 plays for another six behind a two-yard touchdown run from Jack Robinson. Festus pushed its lead up to 28-0 before the break with quarterback Cole Rickerman getting to throw.
Roll to his right. Has a man in the end zone and sliding touchdown. Feet first and making the catch, number 36, Jordan Mezkowski. And that's a three-yard score on a pass from Rickerman.
Just a complete performance from Festus. They were able to turn their defense into offense, and they made the big plays on offense too.
Yeah, they certainly did. And, you know, they love to run the football just like Farmington loves to run the football. And they developed a really long drive, as you just said there, like a 98-yard drive, 14 plays, chewed off about 6 minutes of clock time. And that's the Festus identity when it comes to running the football. That's what Coach Schmidt hopes for, is those kind of sustained drives. And, yeah, offense was great. They got some linemen back. There were plenty of gaps on the line for the likes of Rystrom and Robinson to run through. And those guys don't turn the ball over when it's in their hands either. So, like you said, an offensive output, very solid, very smooth, and something that obviously they hope can carry on into this Friday.
Matt, it's maybe a demonstration of how much better Festus is playing right now, and maybe how much more healthy they are. I don't know, but you have to answer this one. But the first time they played DeSoto, they lose by 18. They win this one by 34, a 52-point turnaround.
Yeah.
From the first time they played DeSoto to this time. Amazing.
It's incredible what they can do when they're healthy. We saw it week one against Fox. Now, albeit there was, you know, a bad decision here or there that led to a loss against a Class 5 school. But after that, that's when all the injuries started happening, and you just can't find consistency when you're injured. They got Jaden Rystrom back a week before Troy Buchanan for the last week of the regular season there. He didn't run the ball as much in that week before Troy. He didn't run the ball very much in that week against Troy, but he ran a lot more against DeSoto. And he is, and my broadcast partner and I talked about it, he is a difference maker on so many levels for the Festus Tigers. So he stayed healthy through that game against DeSoto. So did Jack Robinson. I wish we could say the same for Austin Anderson, but he kind of got hurt a little bit. He's sort of a yards for a touchdown. He's got great speed as well. So just all around, you know, they really have some talented guys on the offensive end, and defensive speed is back for them as well. I think that was a little too much for DeSoto also. So this is going to be a fun Farmington matchup on Friday.
Looking forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have that on AM 800 KREI coming up. DeSoto head coach Chris Johnson, or I beg your pardon, I jumped ahead a little bit. Festus head coach Russ Schmidt complimented his staff and players on executing the game plan.
When you feel comfortable doing what you're doing, you play faster. And our kids played very fast tonight. I'm very proud of the job our defensive staff did tonight. I'm proud of the coaching staff and the kids in general. I mean, this is a big turnaround from the first time we played them. It's amazing what happens when you got a couple of extra healthy kids.
Meanwhile, DeSoto head coach Chris Johnson alluded to how far the seniors have come and the good things they have done for the program.
I just can't put into words how proud I am. And they're all high character kids, and that's what I told them. I said, when you win and you go to battle with kids like that are high character kids, it just makes it that much better, because these kids, they believed in each other. They believed in the process, and they definitely have pushed the DeSoto football team and the DeSoto football program up where it has not been in quite some time.
Well, and it was an exciting start to the season for DeSoto. Had a lot of things in front of them, just a little bit of a downturn as it got to the end of the year.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know what happened. They won four straight. Looked like they were riding a great high. Hillsborough maybe affected them a little bit mentally. I can't remember who the opponent was. Maybe week seven or so, Coach Johnson called into our end zone show and said he was disappointed in the effort. That his guys showed.
St. Genevieve
thank
week
you.
Eight, yeah.
Battle of the Dragons, that's right. But he liked the effort that they showed in the following week. So it wasn't effort. I just think that Festus, you know, they saw him once. They got some guys back healthy on the defensive side and offensive side of things. And I think that just made the difference. The fact that Festus had that losing taste in their mouth, they didn't want that again. And they were at home for this first round. They were like, well, we're not going to lose twice to DeSoto at home in the same year. So. Great effort by the Tigers to move forward.
So DeSoto ends the year at 4-6, and as we mentioned earlier, Festus now 5-5. They get Farmington in the 4-versus-1 matchup in the Class 4 District 1 playoffs next week on AM 800 KREI. Well, you mentioned the Hillsborough Hawks. They are our special guests tonight on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, so we'll hear from them coming up in just about 15 minutes. First, though, we'll take a break. We'll talk about the game that they had against Sykeston and some of the other games around the area as we go around the scoreboard from last Friday night. After this break, you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd. You're listening to KTJJ, Farmington, Festus, Crystal City, St. Genevieve.
Hi, it's Hannah. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, when you buy an LS tractor, you aren't getting the knockoff. You are getting to buy direct. Direct from the major brand maker, not the middleman. That's exactly why LS puts more standard features on the LS tractors and why you get the longer, better warranty with the best price. The best price because you won't be paying the middleman and you won't be paying those franchise fees. LS Tractor does offer the best warranty and buyer after buyer knows that to be true. When you buy an LS tractor from Coles Tractor, you are buying direct because we buy direct. You aren't buying the knockoff that others claim. You are cutting out the middleman, plain and simple. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd with LS Tractors and Coles Tractor and Equipment.
See Coles Tractor and Equipment 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32 or give them a call at 573-756-4353. That's 573-756-4353. And don't forget to check them out on Facebook.
In January 1973, three community leaders sat around a table and established a nonprofit agency that would reach the unmet needs of Jefferson County residents. Little did they know this agency would expand to become a leader in the county, a trusted provider in Missouri, and receive national recognition. Comtree was founded to meet community needs. This will always remain our purpose. We invite you to join the Comtree family tree. Call 877-COMTREE or visit us online at comtree.org. Welcome to our family tree.
Champions are made here, on our courts, on our fields, and in our classrooms. Why settle for ordinary when you could be part of greatness? Mineral Area College. Become a Cardinal today.
KTJJ, Farmington, Festus, Crystal City, St. Genevieve. J98 The Boot.
Hi, this is Brad Smith at Lucas Smith Chrysler Center, your local home of the no-bull deal. The word local, you've heard the phrase shop local, buy local, but do you really think exactly what that means? When you shop here at Lucas Smith, you put your trust in the hands of all of my employees who also eat, play, work, live, and shop local. Jefferson County is their home too. Why drive for miles when you can buy what's right here in your backyard? All we ask at Lucas Smith Chrysler is to give us the chance to earn your business. Please shop local, and remember, Lucas Smith Chrysler Center in Festus.
Dear movers and shakers, we know how you roll, and we're with you. We're with you on the tarmac or terrain, in the 2019 RAV4 Adventure, Limited, and Hybrid models. We're with you in the comfy Highlander with seating for up to 8 and advanced safety features standard. We're with you in the sharp 2019 Toyota Camry with its available cockpit red leather seats. And we're with you in the all-new 2020 Toyota Corolla, loaded with attitude and the latest tech. We're with you. Let's go, Toyota. Find yours at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
See Twin City Toyota, I-55 at the Herculaneum Auto Mall exit, or visit them online at twincitytoyota.com.
Hi, this is Jamie.
And I'm Chris with Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills.
Take advantage of our everyday low prices, where prices are always 50% off MSRP. From home decor to living rooms, bedrooms, dining room sets, stop by and check out our inventory and already low prices.
We have 4 different types of financing available.
And remember, the military always receive a discount at Patsy's Furniture.
You'll love to shop at Patsy's. Patsy's Furniture in Park
Hills. Fleeg's Equipment was founded as a family-owned and operated business, where it remains to this day. Known best for selling exceptional equipment such as Case IH, Massey Ferguson, Hustler, Vermeer, Cub Cadet, Spartan, Q, Cocoon, and many more. Fleek's Equipment is a proven company with certified technicians and customer service where you're more than just a number. Our certified technicians can diagnose, troubleshoot, repair, and maintain your equipment. Not just one color, but every color. Even if you don't purchase your equipment here, we can provide you with the best service available and the largest selection of parts. As the months turn colder, it's time to service your equipment from the summer and fall. Winterize your equipment and tune up any equipment that you need over the winter, also for the spring. We do that here, and we do it well. If you're in the market for a new compact tractor, new blades, whatever the need, see us here at Fleek's Equipment. Make us your first stop, Fleek's Equipment, Highway 32 in St. Genevieve, and on the Outer Service Road in Lettington. Online 24/7 at Fleegs.com. Fleegs Equipment, let our family serve your family.
Hi, this is Brian Jones of the North County Raiders, and you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98. Whoops, whoops, whoops.
Welcome back. We're at Applebee's in Farmington. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98. Andy Humphrey alongside the rest of the regional radio sports crew. Got Nathan Gertz, Chad Speaker, Nick Lewis, and KJF Sports Director Matt Greenwood as we talk about the other games that happened on Friday night in the first round of the district football playoffs in our area. Going back to Class 4 District 1, of course, we mentioned Festus and Farmington winning their games on one side of the bracket, so they'll face off in the semifinals. On the other side of the bracket, Cape Central getting a 42-6 victory over North County. Hillsboro Hawks, who are our special guests this evening, got a 23-6 win over Sykeston. Hillsboro head coach Lee Freeman was very proud of his quarterback and his running back.
And Austin Perez at quarterback, he's been playing for us since about week five consistently as a starter. And he's getting better every week, and you know, he's a senior, and we're really proud of him. And his, you know, his effort's good, and his focus is good. And you know, and then you know, we've still got our freshman tailback there with Jackson Patterson, and you know, he's carrying the load for us right now on our team. And I think he has about 40 carries tonight for 200 plus yards. So you know, he's doing a above and beyond what we expect out of him, and you know, very fortunate to have him.
So it'll be Hillsboro and Cape Central coming up in that other semifinal in Class 4 District 1. In Class 3 District 1, Central Rebels shutting out Dexter 20-0. Rebels head coach Corey Schweiss knew what to expect coming into the game.
You know, it was kind of what I expected. You know, Dexter kids played really hard. You know, I thought they came in with a good game plan against us. And, you know, we didn't help ourselves out. We had a lot of penalties again tonight, turnover. So we got to clean some things up, but we are moving forward.
So it's Central and St. Genevieve in one semifinal in the 2-3, and then Kennett, the one seed, was also victorious last Friday night, 56-0 over Donovan. So Kennett will welcome in Potosi coming up this Friday. In Class 1, District 1, Valley Catholic shutting out Crystal City, 53-0. St. Vincent with a playoff win over Portageville, 48-22. Indians head coach Tim Schumer explains how his team performed in the game.
We came out and we played very well in the first half. That was kind of a point of emphasis for us to make sure we kind of carry over the second half we had against Jefferson last week and kind of make sure, being that it's districts and, you know, it is win or go home at this point, we want to make sure we came out fast and started fast and came out and played really well. So they, from the get-go, they were ready to go and jumped out to a pretty big lead and were able to keep it the rest of the night.
So St. Vincent will go to Hayti next week after Hayti blew out Chaffee 64-0 last Friday. And meanwhile, Valley Catholic will welcome in Malden after the Malden Green Wave were able to just edge out Charleston by a score of 18-13. Class 2 District 1 now, St. Pius defeating their crosstown rival Jefferson R7 29-16. Lancers head coach Dan Oliver wants to stay focused for next week's matchup.
Halloween last night, I don't know if we were quite as focused as maybe we have been earlier, and also, you know, hopefully next week, you know, get back get on our regular routine and hopefully, you know, kind of get everybody's attention focused on, you know, whoever that happens to be, whether it's Crothersville or East Prairie or whoever comes out of that game tonight.
Well, it'll be Crothersville. They were able to beat East Prairie 67-20 last Friday night. So St. Pius will go to Crothersville, and we'll have that on the MyBo Info sports stream coming up this Friday. Meanwhile, Herculaneum's season comes to an end after they fell to Scott City in the first round last weekend, 49-8. In Class 2, District 2, Grandview Eagles also done with their year after a 2-8 season. They fall to Lutheran North 62-0, and the Northwest Lions wrapped up their year with a 54-7 loss against Kirkwood in Class 6 District 3. And we turn now to our big winners on the Roundtable Show. And Nathan, I'm going to start with you. Who's your big winner from District Week 1?
I will take the Central Rebels on the basis of when you go up against an opponent you've already beaten by 30-plus points early in the year, you get the second go-around against them, and your offense is struggling. I think that would scare a lot of coaches off, but the Rebels had such a good defensive performance that even though you only generate 20 points, when it's all said and done, you end up winning the game pretty handily. That is the big thing that I think head coach Corey Schweiss and staff will be excited about going into this one with St. Jen, who's been on a roll of late, and then potentially a district championship game down the line, is that their defense right here and right now at the end of the year. Well, that it says defense wins championships, and the defense for the Central Rebels is humming at the moment.
Those are two really long winning streaks for both of those teams going into that district semifinal next week. Chad, what do you have?
Well, I think one that Nathan mentioned, there's kind of my honorable mention of St. Genevieve. I don't know if it was necessarily a trap game against Fredericktown, but I thought it was one that was dangerous, but apparently it was not dangerous because they really took care of business. My big winner is DeSoto. Festus. And we mentioned it during that segment. You lose to them by 18, you roll over them by 30. It was a 52-point turnaround, and I can't get over that because, that's when it counts. You're in the playoffs. Either show up then or you're done, and they showed up big time. So for me, Festus was my big winner of the week.
Yep, kind of trending in opposite directions there, but Festus definitely took care of business. Nick, what do you have?
I will go with St. Vincent. Easy to look ahead to this week. Hayti, of course, is the opponent, and Hayti is the team that ended St. Vincent's season last year. So I'm sure that in the back of their minds against a 2-7 Portageville team, they were, fighting the urge to look ahead just a little bit. But as you heard Coach Schumer talk about just a moment ago, they got out to a big lead, held it, maybe didn't want to give up 22 points, but still a good performance for St. Vincent as they head into this one against Hayti, and it's going to be an interesting matchup for
It'll be a tough matchup, but certainly St. Vincent in a good spot. That not too long ago was about a 2-win program, and Tim Schumer took over last couple of years. They've gotten a couple of playoff wins back-to-back seasons, so definitely trending in the right direction. What do you got, Matt?
Well, Chad took Festus over DeSoto, so I'll go St. Pius over Jefferson. Anytime you bring in a new coach, Jerry Woods, of course, stepping down. Anytime you bring in a new coach like Dan Oliver, you never know what's going to happen. They lost some top-end speed and guys like Jalen Thornton and Dre Townsend. Townsend transferred, Thornton graduated. Dustin Birch was a speedy and big back that they lost as well to graduation. So you just never know with all these little things coming into a season how a team like St. Pius is going to respond to that. They beat R7 for the second time this year. They got out of that game healthy. And now a great matchup against Caruthersville, a team that I think St. Pius can beat because their defense is so good.
Yeah, should be an interesting matchup, and we'll have it for you on the MyMo Info Sports Stream this upcoming Friday night. So those are our big winners. Hillsborough Hawks were big winners as well with their home victory in the first round of districts against the Sykeston Bulldogs. And coming up after this break, we'll hear from some of the Hillsborough Hawks, their head coach, Leek Freeman, with a few players on hand. And we'll hear from those players and the head coach coming up after this break. You're listening to the Coles Tracker and Equipment Football Roundtable Show. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd. Live from Applebee's in Farmington on J98.
This is Dr. Karen Melton at Hearing Care Partners. We hope you don't miss a single thing this sports season. Stop by for a free hearing screening so you'll hear every play and the person sitting right next to you. One of the best parts of the game is chatting with old friends and making new ones. We wish all our local players a safe and healthy sports season. It's Hearing Care Partners. Find us online at hearingcarepartners.com.
Have you ever misplaced your debit card and worried while you try to find it? Hi, Paul Hale here at Neuro Bank, and our new app offers Secure Swipe. Secure Swipe allows you to turn your debit card on or off from the convenience of your cell phone. While your card is off, you have the safety of knowing that no one can access your account from your debit card. Download our new app today and get this and many other new features. Call or visit any of our locations to get more information or visit our website at www.neurobank.com. Neuro Bank, member FDIC.
There's no need to be scared of flu season. Just say boo to the flu and head over to Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy for your flu shot. It's the perfect way to protect you and your family, and no appointment is necessary. Just pop in when you have time, and we will have you on your way in just a few minutes. Cash prices are available, or we're happy to bill your insurance. We know you have better things to do than be stuck at home with a nasty case of the flu. Come see us at Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy in Deloge, Fredericktown, Ironton, and Farmington.
Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate has been the trusted real estate advisor for over 60 years in the Mineral area. Hi, I'm Kim Hudson, owner of Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate. No one has helped more people buy or sell real estate in our community than the agents at Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate. We are proud of the community in which we live and serve. Contact us today for all your real estate needs. Find us on Facebook or online at coldwellbankerholsey.com. Coldwell Banker Holsey, we would love to be your realtor.
For 57 years, the staff at Farmington Presbyterian Manor have dedicated ourselves to providing our community the best independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and short-term rehab. We are proud to be part of the Parkland community and provide the quality health care you deserve. Call 573-756-6768 today and schedule a visit to find out more about Farmington Presbyterian Manor.
Whatever your educational goals are, you can achieve them at Jefferson College. With caring faculty, convenient locations, and award-winning academic programs, your future is Jefferson College's focus. To learn more, call 636-797-3000 or visit jeffco.edu for a complete list of degrees and programs. Enroll now.
For higher education, for higher expectations, Jefferson College, Jefferson College.
Got the Prairie Farms dips? Check. Got the Prairie Farms yogurt and sour cream? Check. Got the Prairie Farms cottage cheese, milk, and ice cream? Check. Check and check. When the fresh, wholesome taste of Prairie Farms dairy products is on your grocery list, you know you're putting the best on your family's table. For fresh dairy products produced every day, make it Prairie Farms. Dedicated farmers, happy cows, and good milk.
This is Brent Tinker, head football coach for Fox Warriors. You're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Matt Greenwood with you at Applebee's in Farmington for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable show. My guests are the Hillsboro Hawks, Coach Lee Freeman, Jackson Patterson, freshman running back in the house, Austin Perez, senior quarterback as well. Zach McNeese is here, a junior, and senior Daniel McAllister, a.k.a. Danny, number 83, is here as well. So the Hillsboro Hawks going to go down to Cape Girardeau this Friday to take on Cape Central in the semifinals of the Class 4 District 1 tournament. So first off, congratulations all around to you guys beating Sykeston and getting to this spot here.
Thank you.
Not all at once, guys. all right, let's dive into the matchup. Coach, we'll start with you. Overall thoughts on the performance in that 17-point victory over Sykeston?
Well, I think overall a good team win. Defensively, we had a couple mishaps and gave up a couple big plays at times. We knew that their quarterback was very active and we knew that he was able to scramble and extend plays, and I thought our guys did a really good job of keeping him out at times. And then, from an offensive standpoint, just sticking with the game plan, and I don't think it's a secret. Everyone knows what that is, and that's just, try to sustain the run and make sure that we're trying to be as efficient as we can on offense and win on first down.
All right, Coach, so you get the win there, and I guess we'll talk about individual performances. We got to start with Jackson. I mean, what was it, 240-some-odd rushing yards, 25 carries, somewhere around there. Obviously, you've been trusted to score a lot of the points for your team this year, and you've got great guys blocking up front for you, but just talk about your performance in that game, Jackson, and pressing forward this Friday.
In the first quarter, but we ended up pulling out the win with 17 points over.
You may have to answer that question again.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with our mics over here. All right, well, that was a good answer from what I could hear and what obviously our listeners could not. I guess we'll try to see if we can fix Jackson's headset. We'll come back to you, Jackson, I promise. We won't forget about you, man. Let's hope the rest of y'all's microphones are working. Austin Perez, to my right, wears number 7. Austin, a quarterback in this system that Coach Freeman, you know, likes, just runs the football quite often, so you get the pleasure of doing that.
Yeah.
I notice you're very, very good about hiding the football.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you roll out many times this year and have the defense fooled and what have you. Talk about just your performance this season up to this point, and just kind of what are you practicing day in and day out to really perfect that hidden ball that you do so well?
I mean, it's just repetition. I mean, we do everything full speed, get the ball or not, you know, drive it away, try and, you know, open up a hole, pull more people away so we can get Jackson up there and just take off. So
the touchdown that I was referring to I almost was fooled if it wasn't for the fact that I had a better vantage point, but it was a rollout run against DeSoto.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you were wide open, yeah. And that's what first came to mind when I, you know, thought about, you know, talking to you this mm-hmm. evening. That was a big win for you guys. I think maybe gave you guys some great confidence, especially coming off that loss to North County, that, you know what, North County was just a bad game. We're actually really good. Is that sort of how you felt?
I mean, both teams play hard, so, I mean, they just came out on top. That's how I feel about it.
But as far as sort of, you know, going up against DeSoto, you still felt pretty good about what was coming.
Yeah, we felt good.
Okay. Very good. What about, let's introduce here Zach McNeese. I wrote this down on my paper. I can't, you know, five faces. Coach is obviously very recognizable. But Zach Jr., number 55, talk about your performance this past Friday.
Our coaches definitely put us in the best position possible to make plays, and all we had to do was execute and do what they told us to do with the best effort and intensity we possibly could.
All right, gentlemen, I will ask you to speak up just a little bit because I got us blasting up here, and we're still coming in kind of soft, but very well. Daniel McAllister, your performance as well, your thoughts?
I mean, Coach Freeman had a and the rest of the coaches had given us, like Zach said, a good position to execute well. Watching film, knowing what they were going to do before they even knew what they were going to do, helped out big time. So that was about it.
Okay, very well. You know, you guys really were pretty battle-tested this year. Farmington, obviously, a team in your district, potential matchup against them in the championship if you're able to get past Cape Central. Festus, you guys beat them in week 4, but that was a banged-up Festus team, and they're a little bit different now, now as they beat DeSoto last week. Jackson at home, I know it was probably a tough one for you guys, but a chance to go up against some bigger bodies and see what it's like to play, you know, those type of schools. You gave Poplar Bluff a really good game final week of the regular season. So as far as the schedule goes and how battle-tested you guys are, do you feel like it prepares you for this matchup against Cape Central? And I think Jackson will ask you first just to see if your mic's working now.
Yeah, I feel like it did. I mean, it's a better competition than going into a cupcake game and then having to go and play a hard team in district. So I feel like it did prepare us well.
And now that your mic is working, I'm just going to ask that question again, if you wouldn't mind repeating your answer about your performance, 200-plus rushing yards last week against Sykeston in that victory there.
I ran as hard as I could, and my line blocked for me well, and we started off pretty slow, but we ended up getting a lot better, and our speed and intensity got up, and I ran as hard as I could.
I'll just stick with you real quick, and then I'll get back to the question I just asked. You're a freshman doing all these great things. Coach Freeman, you know, admires what you've been able to do. I know there's John Bennett, sophomore for you guys, that is spectacular as well. Austin Romaine gets carries, and he's really good, also a freshman for you as well. You're what, 14?
Yes.
I mean, that's mind-blowing that a 14-year-old is as quick, as strong. You seem like nothing fazes you whatsoever. How did you get to be this type of player so young?
Hard work and dedication.
Yeah, those two things, huh?
Yep.
All right, well, very good. All right, so back to the question about the tough schedule for you guys. We'll just go around. Danny, as I mentioned, Farmington, Festus, DeSoto was a good group that you were playing at the time. They had won four straight when you guys were able to beat them. You have Jackson, you have Poplar Bluff, a decent opponent that you and actually Cape Central share. You guys were able to stick with them for a while. But, yeah, I mean, this is it's big time, you know. These are big games from here on out. That's no secret. But how do you feel about this team into this matchup?
I mean, I feel about the matchup's pretty good. I mean, thank two coaches and everything for the schedule that we have. It definitely gives us an edge, I think, because going up, you see everything from teams that are okay to teams that are really good. And it just helps out a lot. The speed at which you see things develop and everything like that. I can't really think of anything else.
Yeah. And you know what's neat about you is, and you and Austin, you guys are seniors, so you've been around football obviously a little bit longer than Zach, a little bit longer than Jackson. Maybe you read games differently than they do. So with that in mind, with you being a senior and sort of, you know, addressing the, you know, I see games differently, how do you see the way the other guys have reacted to this schedule?
I mean, the other guys, I mean, we are a young team, but there are some older guys on the team and everything, and we definitely see the game a little bit different since we are a little bit more battle-tested. We kind of slowed the game down a little bit more for what we need. But those young guys have definitely stepped up their game and are seeing it kind of how we do. So it's definitely helped out a lot.
Zach, what has it been like to play Farmington, Festus, Poplar Bluff, Jackson, those teams?
It's been nice because we've seen every sort of game you can be in. We've been blown out. We've blown out teams. We've been in quadruple overtime. And I think we're just battle-tested. I think there isn't a game we really haven't seen so far. And I think that's going to help us on coming into Friday.
Okay. Last but not least, Austin.
Yeah. like they've been saying, we've been battle-tested. Our schedule, we've had it all, good, bad, weather. You know, it's just prepared us for the worst and the best. So going into playoffs, we don't have an excuse for, like, oh, this is happening and this is going to happen. Like, we've been through it, so we can definitely, like go on and just compete.
Coach Freeman, now that you've heard all four of your players' answers to those questions, so what are your thoughts as to how they're dealing with what's ahead with Cape?
Well, listening to their answer, I tell you what, I get a little bit emotional because they've had all of it. It's been an up and down year for them. They've won a lot of games that people didn't think they were going to be in. They've competed in some games that people didn't give them a shot. And I think that it says something about their character and their resiliency. If you look at this football team, we are not the football team that I thought we were going to have this year coming up, and I don't. And that's not a negative thing. That's whenever I think about the age of the kids that we're counting on, and whenever I think about the kind of character that our team has right now, this is a team that's been fun to coach since day one. Good, bad, or indifferent, they've been enjoyable to be around. It's been fun coming to work. It's been fun to coach them, and obviously, you know, I'm a little bit biased, but I wish and hope the best for them all the way through.
Coach, I saw you kind of grin when I addressed Jackson Patterson in the freshman aspect. Yes, he has that freshman title attached to him, but based on the schedule, the fact that now he has essentially a full season under his belt, just, you know, 44 rushes, 44 carries last week. You rely on him heavily. You can tell he wants the football. He wants to, you know, carry this team on his back. He's a very mature freshman, isn't he?
Absolutely. I going into this season, I did my last thing that I wanted to do was pull him up and have him run the ball on Friday night. That was not my goal. That was not my intention as a coach. And we had other guys that are capable of doing that. But his work ethic, his drive, his intensity, his ability to just be tough, it kept showing through, and it kept you know, kind of putting itself and presenting itself right in your face. And as a coach, if you're talking to your staff and and everybody's saying the same thing. You can only ignore that for so long before you have to give a kid a shot. So we did that, and he has not disappointed us in the least. And to be honest with you, I can only imagine that he gets sick and tired of hearing, hey, you're a freshman, you're a freshman. I actually said it to the table to him, you know, before we came over. I go, they're probably going to talk to you about being a freshman and how that, you know, how you feel about that. And
right.
And he's been really, really cool about the whole thing. So, you know, a couple times, you know, you try to take him out of the game because, you know that he's getting up there in carries. You get 35 or 40 carries under your belt, and, you know, that's not necessarily what we're aiming for. But you take him out of the game, and he's mad because, you know, he didn't want to come out of the game, and he wants to be in there. So, you know, he's competitive. Competitive drive. We got a lot of kids that are kind of throwback kids. They're a little bit more mentally and physically tough than people give them credit for.
And you know, addressing him as a freshman, it's not a slight. It just adds to the impressiveness of what we see on the field.
Certainly.
So, let's move on to your opponent on Friday. It's a Cape Central team that's kind of hard to figure out because the teams that they've lost to have a combined record of 37 wins. And two losses. The teams they've beaten have a combined record of 12 wins and 26 losses. So their wins are against lesser opponents. Their losses are against greater opponents. You guys are kind of somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
What have you seen from Cape Central?
Well, whenever I look at this team and obviously telling the kids going into this game, we've seen them a lot over the last decade. You know, back and forth, and whether it be regular season or whether it be playoff football, whatever, you know, I know they've had some different coaches in and out, but the constant is that they've always got, you know, some quality kids on the field. They're always going to have some big playmakers, and they're always going to have some bigger, more athletic kids. So whenever I look at them, I know that Coach Gibbs does a good job. I know that he's looking for high character kids, and I know that he's going to do a great job of putting together a game plan. So we just need to be as disciplined as we possibly can, and we need to be able to play physical for 48 minutes, and if it requires longer than 48 minutes, we need to be ready for that. A certain mentality that goes along with this game coming up for us against a team like Cape, you know, we're going to have to force them to do things that they don't want to do, and hopefully we can do that, but I have the utmost respect for Coach Gibbs, his staff, and all of the players that are down there because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that they, you know, they had a bad season last year, but it hasn't been that long ago since we've squared off in some championship games and some semifinals. So, you know, looking forward to the opportunity to compete.
Not to pick apart words, Coach Freeman, but you use the word discipline, and that can mean so many things. It can mean attitude of the team. Towards the game, towards the opponent. It could also mean blocking assignments. It could mean decisions, throwing the football, running the football, kind of where you go, what do you do. So when you talk about discipline and this Hillsboro football team, where do you rank it in certain aspects of the game?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. You're talking about every aspect. There's not going to be an opportunity for us to you know, let things slide. And what I told the kids yesterday at practice is you can have one bad play, but you can't have two in a row. So if we do make a mistake, we have to make sure that we're really focused on that play the next play mentality.
All right, very well.
Yeah, fair enough.
Again, we're here at Applebee's in Farmington. I'm Matt Greenwood. We're joined by Hillsboro football, Jackson Patterson, Austin Perez, Zach McNeese, Daniel McAllister. They've got a matchup against Cape Central in the Class 4 District 1 semifinals Friday. It's going to be on AM 1400 KJFF, so we'll make the trek down with you guys to Cape and certainly hoping to enjoy that one. I'll get one final thought from all the players here before we wrap this segment up. I'll start off to my left, Danny. Danny McAllister, number 83, senior for Hillsboro. I know this is only Tuesday, but as far as practice, film study, and all that stuff, your thoughts on Cape Central?
I mean, they're going to be a good team. I mean, through season and everything, they've versed some teams that are pretty good. Same thing with us. So, I mean, they're not going to be a just pushover team. So this is going to be a good game.
All right. Zach?
I'm just itching for the chance to compete with them because I know they have some pretty good, outstanding athletes out there, and I want to see how we can match up with them. And I know a lot of people
aren't expecting us to make it to the district championship, but I'd like to prove everybody wrong, and I'm itching to get out there on Friday.
Very well. Jackson?
They're a very good team, and they're very fast and physical, but I feel like if we come out and play our Hawk football, we can be more physical and fast than them and come out with the win. And they're not an easy team to beat, but I feel like we can do it.
Austin Perez is mad at you now for saying playing Hawk football, but Austin, can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, he took my words out of my mouth. I mean, it's a playoff game. It's go home or go on, so, like, it's going to be a tough game. Everyone's going to compete and go as hard as they can, so... I mean, it's just whoever executes the best is going to go keep going on.
Well, I can tell Coach Freeman that these guys are pretty composed. They're battle-tested, and they're ready. You can tell by their answers and by their – some of them have a serious face. Zach over here has been smiling this whole time. But that's great. You want to be able to laugh about you know, this opportunity here. You want to be able to be serious about it as well. So, Coach, I'll just end this segment with you and just your final thoughts on this team pressing forward to Friday.
Well, I just, you know, I think it's like anything else. I'm sitting here watching these guys, and whenever you think about where they started and where they're at now, from a maturity standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, and from just an overall growing up and becoming a young man or becoming a young adult, you look at those guys and as a coach, you sit here and you're very proud of them, so all the way across the board.
All right, very well. So regardless of result, great season for the Hillsborough Hawks. A lot of guys getting matured a little bit faster than maybe had hoped. So that's good. That can only benefit the program moving forward, Coach. So looking forward to the drive down to Cape and calling some Hillsborough Cape Central football on Friday.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to the opportunity.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for coming on to the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you're very welcome. Again, that is Jackson Patterson, Austin Perez, Zach McNeese, and Daniel McAllister, all members of the Hillsborough Hawk football team. Again, it's Class 4 District 1 semifinals Friday on AM 1400 KJFF, 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, and looking for a Hawk victory and a spot in the Class 4 District 1 championship. So again, my thanks to them for making the trip down here, and we're going to be back with more of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable show on J98 next.
Gateway Motors in Fredericktown, Missouri invites you to come on down and let us help you find your next vehicle. Purchasing a car, SUV, or truck can be an overwhelming experience. The Gateway crew will help you find the right vehicle for your personal or family needs. We offer 24-month or less no-interest loans for qualified buyers. Come on down to 509 Lincoln Drive and let us help you find a reliable vehicle that fits your wallet.
This is Dr. Karen Melton at Hearing Care Partners. We hope you don't miss a single thing this sports season. Stop by for a free hearing screening so you'll hear every play and the person sitting right next to you. One of the best parts of the game is chatting with old friends and making new ones. We wish all our local players a safe and healthy sports season. It's Hearing Care Partners. Find us online at hearingcarepartners.com.
Everybody's going home.
Imagine slipping into your own spa at the end of a long day. Soothing, relaxing, refreshing. This can be your life. We can help. I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas. We have new inventory of spas, starting from two-person all the way up to family size. One that will fit in the corner of your patio to larger models that can be used indoors or out. Home Pools and Spas on the Outer Service Road just south of the Ludington exit.
That filet. Yeah, the one you just threw on the grill. It's got iron. It's got protein. Heck, that steak's even got vitamins. So I guess what we're saying is, what that delicious, nutritious steak doesn't have is a reason to wait. Beef. It's what's for dinner.
This message brought to you by the Missouri Beef Industry Council. See what's cooking at beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
When it's all said and done, what really matters? For Serenity Hospice Care patient Jack, hospice isn't about giving up. It's not about the end. It's about right now. It's about spending precious time with the people we love.
Come on, Grandpa!
And the little moments that create lasting memories. It's focusing on what's important to you and remembering, life is beautiful in all stages.
From faxing to notarizing, the UPS Store has every ing for your small business. And when it comes to protecting your confidential information...
Shh! Quiet! You should know about the shredding services available at the UPS Store. They're just what you need for protecting, securing, and disposing of proprietary documents.
Oh, so I can do less worrying.
The UPS Store. Every ing for small business. And, of course, shipping.
Hi, this is Jim, owner of the UPS Store in Festus. See us now at our new location at 650 North Creek Drive next to Tiger Express Car Wash.
Join the Jefferson County YMCA for our annual Thanksgiving Day 5K. Hi, this is Shelley Otek. Burn some calories before your holiday festivities begin with this fun run walk. The YMCA 5K is open to all ages, so bring the whole family. Contact the Y at 636-931-9622 for more information or to register today. So join the fun Thanksgiving Day for our annual run at the Jefferson County Family YMCA.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a five-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package, which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker at 800-851-5371.
Fall is here and winter is on its way. This is Andy from Gifford Lumber Company in Farmington. We're always ready to help you get what you need no matter what the season. Plumbing, electrical hardware, lumber, tools, and so much, much more. Stop by and see us and check out the Makita, Yeti, Benjamin Moore, Traeger Grill inventory. We're Gifford Lumber Company and we're hometown proud, located on Potosi Street in Farmington.
Gifford Lumber Company in Farmington, hometown proud.
Mario's Italia serves the best Italian food in the area. Pizza, pastas, calzones, strombolis, salads, and sub sandwiches. Huge, large portions with the freshest ingredients. My favorite's got to be their fettuccine alfredo. You can get Mario's full menu online at mariositalia.com. You'll be satisfied with all of the choices that Mario's has to offer. Dine in or have it delivered or have them cater your next special event. Open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. Located in the factory at the corner of 1st and A Streets in downtown Farmington.
This is head coach Russ Schmidt of the Festus Tigers. You're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Back at Applebee's in Farmington on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98. Thanks again to the Hillsboro Hawks, our special guests today. And great to hear from them after their win against Sykeston last weekend. And they will be taking on Cape Central. And we'll talk a little bit more about that matchup coming up as we look at the district semifinal week on this Friday night. And we'll continue the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable now at Applebee's in Farmington. And, of course, we have loved coming here to Applebee's every single Tuesday to have the roundtable show. It's a new location for us for the roundtable show this year, and it has been nothing but spectacular. We have a great server, Nicole, who takes care of us and puts up with a ton of trouble sometimes, but hey, she is awesome, and she's been certainly a great server to our players and coaches and our staff too. So thank you to Nicole. She actually had her father, and God bless him, actually got diagnosed with cancer just a couple weeks ago. Bobby Ellis. And so Applebee's very nice enough to have a dine out night in support of raising funds for his fight against cancer. So that dine out night at Applebee's in Farmington will be next Wednesday, November 13th, not tomorrow, but next Wednesday, the 13th. So if you come on by between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., and you show a flyer, they've got these flyers over at Applebee's in Farmington. You can pick them up anytime. And if you show this flyer and you come in and eat on Wednesday, November 13th, then 10% of your check will be donated towards his medical bills. So, again, to help out Bobby Ellis, they'll have a dine-out night next Wednesday and donate towards that great cause on Wednesday, November 13th by enjoying a great meal at Applebee's. Of course, they got great food, so it's a win-win. You can enjoy some great food and also help out that great cause. So again, that is next Wednesday, November 13th.
Go get them, Bobby.
Yeah, you bet. We'll look at week 11 now. 11 I'm bad at math at this time.
It is 11.
11. Thank you, Derek, back in the studio, too, checking my math as well. As we take a look at the district semifinal matchups to Class 4 District 1, we go first. We will have both semifinals in that bracket on our regional radio airwaves on AM 800 KREI. The Farmington Knights, the one seed, hosting the four seed Festus in a rematch from last year's game. It was the 2-3 matchup last year. And Farmington, of course, was the favorite, but Festus was able to come in to Hale Memorial Stadium and get a win, Chad, and both these teams riding some highs on the upward trend and similar offenses, too.
I'll give you the research, okay, with the caveat that I don't think it matters. So I'm going to give, you the information.
Enlighten me.
And then you guys can do whatever you want with it. They do have a couple of common opponents this year. And Farmington has been more impressive against those opponents. Festus beat North County by 16. Farmington beat North County by 42. Hillsborough beat Festus, and Farmington took care of Hillsborough 48-0. So you take a look at common opponents, you'd say, okay, that sides with Farmington. But you take a look at last year's game. Austin Anderson, probably not going to be available.
We'll see.
And we'll see. But he teamed with Jaden Rystrom last year. And those two guys rushed last year 39 times for 300 yards between the two of them.
Yeah.
And they have more running backs. Jack Robinson is back. Mm-hmm. They have more guys back. So their best running backs ran 39 times last year. 23 carries and then 16 carries. Farmington's best running back, 4 carries last year in the game. 0 in the second half. And he wasn't hurt. It's just the way, I guess, it all ironed out. So, you got some things going Festus's way, like they're playing great football right now. You got some things going Farmington's way. They've had probably the more overall impressive season. You just kind of have to wait and see if Festus is in Farmington's head. Is that last year's defeat going to linger? And if something goes wrong for Farmington, are they going to say, well, oh, geez, this again?
Yeah.
I think Rush Schmidt has his team believing right now, though.
I think what's key for Festus, obviously, health. We've driven that into the ground, but it's also the speed that they have on defense. It is back. It's a little bit, it's faster now than it was even 2 weeks ago, and I think that can help them. I think physically, Festus is not necessarily ever overmatched. I mean, they blocked a wrestler last week in Landon Porter. Pretty darn good. I mean, he didn't really do much, and so I know on the offensive line, Festus does have the capability of getting good blocks and pushing lines, and that'll be a big battle.
I think that's the matchup, Matt, because Farmington's probably their greatest asset this year has been speed along the lines. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stay in front of their defensive lines, and their offensive line has consistently been able to be athletic enough to get to the second level blocks. So it's almost strength on strength there.
Yeah, and speed on speed, which is
good matchup.
Which means it's a good matchup, yeah. Exactly.
It'll be fun on AM 800 KREI coming up at 7 o'clock on Friday night. On the other side of that bracket, we talked with the Hillsborough Hawks, and they will be on the road in Cape Girardeau taking on the Cape Central Tigers. We heard their perspective on the matchup, and Matt, let's hear yours.
Well, I introduced it to Coach Freeman, and I'll go ahead and repeat it here, but Cape Central is one of those teams. They're really hard to figure out because their wins are against opponents that combine for 12 wins and 26 losses. But Cape Central's losses were up against opponents that combine for 37 wins and 2 losses. And Hillsborough is kind of that team that's in between both a great team and, an average team. And so with that in mind, I mean, the home field advantage obviously goes to Cape because it's in Cape Girardeau. But I don't know. It's just – Hillsborough, I mean, I talked to the guys, as you guys know, we just had them on. I mean, they seem ready. They don't fear anyone. Jackson Patterson's an impressive young kid, and not just his composure on the interview, but also on the football field as well. So I like the fact that Hillsborough keeps the ball on the ground. They've had great success keeping the ball on the ground. I think they have a legit chance against the Cape Central team. That's kind of a toss-up week by week. And by the way, those two losses – from the combined opponents record
were Farmington's two losses to Lutheran North and Jackson. So
Cape and Hillsborough, too, they have had some great postseason matchups. I think Hillsborough won the last one.
They did.
Cape the one before.
Yep.
And there's another factor that kind of comes into play. Cape always have very good athletes. They usually play better at the end of the year than the beginning of the year, and that could be amplified even more this year because you've got Kent Gibbs in his first season at Cape. Mm-hmm. And Kent Gibbs' teams at Sykeston just played tough. They were tough, hard-nosed ball clubs. And so you've got maybe the athletes that Cape can provide, and now finally, you know, you're at the end of the full year of Kent Gibbs. So, you know, maybe he kind of has all his stuff in, his influence maybe kind of taking root there now as well. I would think that a Cape team this week is going to be maybe even more different than a Cape team in week one than maybe we would think another team might be.
And I think there might be elements of Hillsborough's defense that match up with Farmington's, and maybe if Coach Freeman is able to get a hold of it or see it, he can kind of see how Farmington game plan for Cape, because Farmington held them to 6 points.
They did.
Which Cape Central has proven throughout the year that they can run up the score a little bit. And so maybe
it was 23-6 and wasn't really that close. Farmington
right.
left a lot of points out there, too.
So I think Hillsborough's defense can maybe stymie, if they can stymie them a little bit, and Jackson Patterson can have another mind-blowing game like he had last week where he rushed it 44 times for 214 yards and two scores, I think that gives Hillsborough a fighting chance for sure.
I think it's safe to say, and even though Festus and Hillsborough have had their struggles this year, especially early in the season, now that both of these teams have picked it up, and the way that Farmington and Cape Central have played for most of the year, I don't think I'd be safe calling either of these matchups either way. And I think that's the only district that we could probably say that about right now in this area.
I agree. There's a lot of parity in this one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, for sure. Class 3 District 1 now, St. Genevieve and Central. I can't call this one either. This is going to be a very close matchup too, as the Dragons go in to face the Rebels. We'll have it on J98, and it went Central's way in the regular season, Nick. And they were able to really capitalize on some St. Genevieve mistakes. That was when the Dragons were coming off a really rough portion of their schedule where they had to play two state-ranked teams, then get Park Hills maybe a couple weeks removed from that. But both teams are on long winning streaks, as we mentioned earlier, and should be a very fun matchup in Park Hills.
Central is on a long winning streak, as is St. Gen, but the thing with Central is, and we talked to Coach Swice about it post-game after the Dexter contest, which they did win 20-0, but I think Coach Swice was a little disappointed with the effort overall from his team. I don't think he thought that was their best performance of the season by any means, and he mentioned to us during the post-game that, you know, their best football was probably played in the middle of the season, right about when they saw St. Gen. Meanwhile, for St. Genevieve, you could argue that they're probably playing their best football right now. And so, you know, despite the fact that St. Gen lost to Central at their place, and honestly 31-14, a little closer than it actually was, but the Dragons beat a Fredericktown team, you know, last week that I know 3-7 is how they finished the year, but Fredericktown's been in every single game besides that Kennett contest against these schools. And for St. Gen to beat them 31-7, essentially 31-0, because Fredericktown got that very late long touchdown, that was really impressive to me. And so despite the fact that it flips from St. Gen to Central now, and Central controlled things at St. Genevieve, I'm not sure that it's going to go the way that you might expect it to, just based on that logic. So as it flips to Park Hills, I would definitely expect a close matchup just based on how well St. Genevieve's playing right now. And Coach Weiss, happy with his team, of course, but you know, maybe wanting a little bit more after that Dexter game.
So that's the first semifinal 2-3 matchup there, the 4-1 with Potosi going to Kennett. Nobody has had Kennett's number so far this year, Nathan. How does Potosi try and game plan against them, do you think?
Well, they've got to have success doing what they best, run the football. Against Perryville, they ran for 163 yards, but I'd say they did it on about 50 carries. They had a lot of very short gains, found themselves behind the chains often. Their top fullback, Wade Merciel, had just 27 yards on 12 carries. They're going to have to be able to run the football, because that's what they've done well all year. And then I think defensively, they got off the field consistently against Perryville. Going to have to mix in some turnovers as well. Got lucky that they bounced on a couple of loose balls against the Pirates. They're going to have to force some takeaways, take some possessions away from Kennett on Friday night.
You know, if they can actually pick up those first downs, like you were alluding to, move the chains, though, I think they have the right formula, because against any high-powered team like that, you play keep away, you limit the possessions, you keep it close, strike late, that might be what can do it.
Yeah, long drives. They had a 10-play drive that put them on top after both teams traded punts to start that game against Perryville. So they hold the football, win the time of possession. You know, Kennett won't have a chance to go out there and pile up a bunch of points.
Yep, should be interesting to at least see what can happen in that matchup, as it will be in Kennett coming up in that other semifinal in Class 3, District 1. Lone area team left in Class 2, District 1. St. Pius Lancers, they're on the road taking on Caruthersville. Pius is the 3 seed, Caruthersville the 2. Caruthersville has been very strong this year. We kind of have to look at common opponents a little bit sometimes to maybe gauge what these two teams might do matched up with each other. Caruthersville went into Valley Catholic, got a 3-point victory. St. Pius, a couple weeks ago, fell to Valley Catholic, but the key difference there, Caruthersville was not facing Chase Dunlap. So Chase Dunlap was facing Pius, and he's back now. So maybe you take away a few points and it gets a little bit closer based on that common opponent, you know, matchup there. But Pius, I'm sure, as we mentioned earlier, with how they got that win against their rival in the first district game, a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and going back to that matchup with Caruthersville and Valley Catholic, Chase Dunlap gets knocked out in that game. The injury that knocked him out for a couple weeks until he's come back here at the end of the season. Freshman Chase Fowler has to step in. Caruthersville had already built a big lead at that time. And then, in the blink of an eye in the second half, Valley Catholic rallies and ends up only losing 38-35. What that tells me is that if you go out there defensively with a good game plan and real good athletes, you have a chance to shut down Caruthersville for long stretches. Matt brought it up earlier tonight. St. Pius defense is one of the best in the area. They've got some absolute dudes. Riley Nager, Nate Rubel, they've been outstanding. Lancers go out there, play well defensively early like they did against Valley Catholic. I think they'll have a chance there in the fourth quarter.
I like St. Pius's defense. I mean, I went and covered, I think it was St. Pius Herculaneum football game earlier this year, and just the size of the guys for St. Pius, it's mind-blowing. I mean, every single one on the D-line, offensive line, humongous. And so that's proved very effective. When you have a 6-foot, six foot seven, maybe 6'8" safety in Riley Nager, it's hard to beat Pius over the top as well. And they're a little bit faster on defense than I thought maybe we expected going into this year. So yeah, St. Pius's defense is phenomenal. That's been that's been the way they've won a lot of games, is just holding opponents to less than 20 points. That's going to have to happen Friday for them to get the win, but I think it can happen.
So it's Pius and Caruthersville. That'll be on the MIMO Info Sports stream coming up Friday night. Other area games, Class 1, District 1, the two semifinals feature Malden at Valley Catholic and St. Vincent at Hayti. And with these matchups, of course, Valley Catholic's got the mismatch. They look to be, with the way that they took care of business last week, the way that they want to do so again, they look to be a pretty big favorite against Malden, but certainly want to be still playing their best football, because whoever comes out of that St. Vincent Hayti matchup will certainly be fired up. That's going to be a very key football game in this tournament here.
Interested to see what the Indians do on the road there, the St. Vincent Indians, right, going up against the Hayti Indians. Your Double R and company have piled up the points this year. However, they've had their struggles at times defensively, and Hayti has not had any problem moving the football. So that feels like the type of game that, if it is an entertaining, fun battle for four quarters, there will be a lot of points put on the board. And as you said, whoever Valley Catholic gets in the district championship game, should they take care of business against Malden, is going to be riding a ton of momentum. So very interested to see how that result plays out.
Yep, that's Class 1, District 1. And then in Class 5, District 1, they're just starting play, as all four of these teams in the semifinals had a bye last week in this four-team district. And so now they're ready to face each other on Friday night. Poplar Bluff will be at Fox, and Seckman is at the 1 seed Jackson, undefeated on the year, Matt. And, you know, with these Fox and Seckman teams that go into these matchups, of course, Fox was able to beat Seckman last year when they were matched up in the 2-versus-3. Now they're not. And Fox still gets that home game, though, against the Poplar Bluff team that's starting to get a little bit more momentum at the end of the season. And then Seckman just trying to do whatever they can against a very tough Jackson team that no one's been able to beat.
Right. I saw Fox and Festus week one. That was a great game, Class 5 versus Class 4. Fox pulled it out 17-14. I looked at my broadcast partner then, and I said, Fox is going to be one of the best teams in Jefferson County, and if Festus stays healthy, I think they're right up together, you know, 1-2, if you will. Fox has not has not given me any reason to think otherwise that they're going to be able to win this game at home against a Papa Bluff team that has been back and forth this year. I think Fox has plenty of playmakers, plenty of athleticism, great speed, great size. And again, it's at home, where you said last year they beat Seckman in kind of a shootout. So they're capable of winning shootout games. They're capable of winning defensive battles. I think Fox is just an excellently run group as well with Coach Tinker there. 7-2 record, where one game they got off because a team had to forfeit. So, again, 7-2 Fox, Papa Bluff coming into their place. Fox goes crazy for their football. For Sacramento, it's going to be really tough. I mean, Jackson, as you said, hasn't been beaten this year. They're one of the elite talents in Class 5, always up there for the discussion of one of the best Class 5 schools. So that's going to be a very tough road matchup for the Jaguars.
One of the differences with Jackson this year, too, is the balance. Amazing balance for Jackson this year between the run and the pass and variety within both schemes. It's really hard to game plan against them. They spread you out. And you hear about teams attacking from sideline to sideline and vertical, and they're a perfect example of that.
Yep. So those are the games, 9 games featuring 11 area teams. There were 10 teams that bowed out of the playoffs last week, and those remaining 11 will all be in action on Friday night in the district semifinals. We'll take a quick look at the Missouri Tigers as they get set to take on number 6 Georgia coming up on Saturday night. It will be a night kickoff, 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock pregame show on AM 1400 KJEF. The pregame show will join in on AM 800 KREI after Mineral Area College Hoops gets off the air on AM 800 on Saturday. Mizzou is trying to fight an uphill battle now. It has not been fun on the road. And earlier today, Barry Odom saying in his press conference, Kelly Bryant's about 75%. If the game were today, he's not starting, and it's Taylor Powell. So they're trying to heal him up a little bit. So things certainly not going well, at least for the Missouri Tigers at the moment, but trying to get some sort of momentum, at least in practice, to put up a showing against Georgia.
I mean, a bowl game is still a possibility, and I think when you lose back-to-back weeks to Kentucky and Vanderbilt, at that point you kind of look around and say, okay, now it's about the future. What can we do going forward? So a good showing against one of the better teams in the country would be nice. I think that anything they can get out of Taylor Powell in Athens, Georgia at night would be fantastic if he has to play. And if Kelly Bryant can gut it out, hopefully the offense is much better than it was those last two losses.
Yep, there you go. Kickoff at 6 o'clock again on AM 800 KREI and AM 1400 KJEF Radio. That rounds it out on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, live from Applebee's in Farmington. Again, our Friday night football schedule looks like this, as on J98, Class 3 District 1 semis between St. Genevieve and Central. On AM 800 KREI, the Class 4 District 1 semis between Festus and Farmington. The other semifinal in that tournament between Hillsborough and Cape Central, that's on AM 1400 KJEF on Friday nights. And St. Pius will be at Caruthersville on our MIMO Info Sports stream. You can find the link for that at MIMOinfo.com as Pius tries to advance to the Class 2 District 1 Championship the following week. Should be a fun week of football, guys. Excited for it, and we'll be out there to see what happens. It should be exciting matchups with some closely matched teams.
Fun week of football, basketball, and a couple of our teams at the state Final Four in volleyball,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Windsor, yes, St. Pius.
Exactly. And, of course, Windsor had two volleyball athletes, players of the week,
yep.
Athletes of the week, I should say, for the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, Taylor Duncan, Allie Moore. So, first ever trip to Final Four, and they're going to get all the coverage that they'll allow us to give them, and we'll have some stories coming up over the next couple of days regarding Windsor and their trip there, and then also some St. Pius stuff as well, because they're also at state.
Yep, St. Pius' match on Saturday we will have on AM 1400 KJEF in the morning hours, and then in the evening, just after 6 o'clock, will be the Windsor match in either the third place or championship. Depends on how pool play goes on Friday, and that will be on J98 coming up Saturday night.
And for anyone who might be confused at this point, just go to MIMOinfo.com,
yes,
and check out our broadcast schedule.
That is the end-all, be-all when it comes to what you can hear on the air on our regional radio airwaves. Go to MIMOinfo.com, check out that broadcast schedule brought to you by Hearing Care Partners. We're done, and we thank you for tuning in to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. For Brandon Pavlina, Nathan Gertz, Chad Speaker, Nick Lewis, and Matt Greenwood, this is Andy Humphrey saying so long from Applebee's in Farmington. Special thanks to Derek Hankins back in the studio for running the show. Back here next week for our final roundtable
Rebel Show again, 6:30 right here on J98 on Tuesday night as we recap what happens this upcoming Friday, and we'll preview championship week in the district playoffs in the state of Missouri, which will be coming up next Friday after this one. So long, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.